The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would turn to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. I'm going to read a verse here, verse 16. And if you're very familiar with the Bible, you'll know this is the major writings on the account of creation. Genesis, the first chapter, and the 16th verse, we're going to read about something that the Lord created on the fourth day. And it says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." So we read in that verse that on the fourth day of creation, that God made two great lights. And one of those great lights was the greater of the two lights. So it was the greatest great light, and obviously we know that that is the sun. And I was really hoping that it'll be really sunny today. I thought it would help see the sun out there, but it's not. It's not sunny at all. But the sun is a very interesting thing, and it's probably one of those things that you don't really give a whole lot of thought to. You know, it's very consistent. It rises and it sets. It's always, you know, east and west, and you probably get up in your day and you get going about your day and you walk out to your car and the sun's shining on you and you go through the day and the sun's shining through your windows. And you may not ever really stop and think about that great light. Maybe with the eclipse several months ago, maybe you thought about it a little bit more than you normally would. But if you've ever stopped and thought about the great light that is the sun, it is a tremendous creation. It is something that man, on their very best day, you can get all the scientists in the world, they can't reproduce it. They can't reproduce the sun. Some of the interesting facts about the sun is you could fit the planet Earth in the sun. You know, the sun is a sphere. It's a perfect sphere, by the way. You could fit 1 million planet Earths inside the sun. That's huge. It's hydrogen, it's helium, it's this big flaming ball of fire. And scientists will tell you that it's 92 million miles away. That's a long way. 92 million miles away. Now, we have a fireplace in our house, and last night we had a fire, and like we have many nights, we've got the fire going. And, you know, if you want to feel the warmth of that fire, you've probably got to get, depends on how long it's been burning, you'd have to get 6 or 8 feet, really, to even feel the warmth of that fire, because we don't have blowers on the fireplace. It's just the heat of the fire. And you got to get 6 or 8 feet, maybe 10 feet if it's really going, to feel the warmth of the fire. But this sun, this great light that's created, is 92 million miles away. And you can step out of the shade into the sun and tell that you just stepped out of the shade. You can feel the heat off of it. Like that, you know, usually in the mornings the sun is over here shining through those windows, and if you sat on this end of the pew, you're going to be hotter than if you sat on this end of the pew because you're sitting in the sun. That is tremendous. Yeah. Is it not? It's 92 million miles away, but yet we can still feel the heat of it very well, especially in Alabama summertime. You can feel it. You know that it also illuminates for us. It illuminates that, you know, even though we can't see the sun right now, the reason I can see that building is because the sun is shining. That's why. When the sun comes up in the morning, darkness is gone. And I think sometimes about the sun hanging up in the sky, that when the Lord spoke that into creation, there was a day that Adam and Eve sat there under that very same sun. It's been here for that long, 92 million miles away, and it illuminates for us. It gives us warmth and it gives us heat. Another thing the sun does for us is the sun has many benefits to us. You can read about it. You know, the sun increases your vitamin D, which increases the health of your bones. So it's got from a medical aspect, it's got some benefits to it as well. But, you know, in places that don't get a lot of sunlight, do you know that oftentimes people have to sit in front of an artificial UV light machine to get a certain amount of UV light from that machine? Because if they don't, the depression rate is very, very high. I had a friend of mine that was a Marine stationed in Finland, and they didn't get a whole lot of sunlight. He said, "Man, 30 minutes a day, you got to go cut this machine on, sit in front of that machine, and let that light hit you because it's artificial sunlight, and it keeps you from going into a state of depression." So sunlight helps us not be depressed. Amen. Okay? Well, one thing the sun does for us is when the sunlight is shining on us and the light is out there, it increases something in our body called serotonin. You heard Brother Tim preach not too long ago about melatonin. When the sun goes down and it begins to get dark, your body increases melatonin. When the sun comes up and it's light, your body increases serotonin. And what serotonin does is it wakes you up, it makes you alert, it makes you focused, it makes you calm, and you're ready to get about your day. So one thing that the sun does, this great light, is it wakes us up. And I'll give you an example about this. In our bedroom, we have two coverings on our windows. One of the coverings on our windows is like a shade. You can pull it up and down, but it's paper thin. I mean, you can't see through it, but it's very, very thin. And if the sun comes up in the morning time and the shade is down, it's so thin that the sun still lights up our room. All right, but we've got curtains also, and I don't know what these curtains are made of, but when you pull those curtains to, it's dark. And the sun can be up shining very well, and it's still really dark in our bedroom. And sometimes that's great if you've had a long night or something like that. But I've noticed this, that in the morning time, if we don't have those curtains pulled, which we usually don't at night, we leave the curtains open, we'll pull that shade down. In the morning, when the sun comes up, our room begins to light up with the sun. And as soon as that room begins to light up, guess what? My eyes pop open. I can't remember the last time I set an alarm clock. Because when that sun pops open, my eyes pop open, and I feel alert. I feel ready to get up. And if it's not time for me to get up, I lay there and fidget until it's time for me to get up. So I don't get a walk, get up and just pounce around the house, you know. So I lay there and pray and think about things of the Lord and what I got to do that day. But it wakes me up and it gets me going. Let's just say, for example, 6 o'clock, the sun pops up and it starts illuminating our room. And I wake up and I'm ready to go and I'm focused. But guess what? The next day, if I pull those curtains and the sun comes up and that room doesn't light up, it might be 2 or 3 hours past when I would normally wake up if the sun was shining through the window. And I'll open my eyes and I'm like, man, what time is it? It's got to be 5:30 in the morning. You look at your watch and it's 8 o'clock. And you go pull the curtains back and open up the shade, and it's like, wow, I mean, the day's half gone. My point is this. Without that light shining in me, shining in the room, and shining to illuminate that room, I stay in a spirit of slumber. Right. I stay in a state of slumber. And I have trouble getting going. And I may wake up with the curtains closed and not much light in the room and think, I know I got to get up. But you almost got to kick me out of the bed. But if the curtains are open and the light's shining through, I'm ready to go. Let's go. My point is this, when it's dark and I don't have that great light shining through the window, I have trouble getting going and I just kind of stay in a spirit of slumber. That's with the physical man. All right, now I want to talk to you about some great lights this morning for the spiritual man. Because the spiritual man can fall into a state of slumber and sleep just like your physical man can. Now, why is that important? It's important for me physically to get up and get going about my day because I got things to do. I've got a family to take care of. I've got a job to do. I've got a house to take care of and things going on around there. If I never opened those curtains and all I did was stay in that spirit of slumber, you'd come over to my house one day and the grass would be this tall and I wouldn't have shaven forever and the kids would be running around begging for food. We don't have any food in the pantry because I got to get up and get going because it's important to do that. Why is it important that the spiritual man stays awake? If you read over in Matthew, the 13th chapter, you read a parable where the Lord says that the kingdom of God is likened to a man who sowed good seed in a field. And he said, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed seed that was bad. All right, this is my point of that. Here you have a man that goes out and sows very good seed. And it says the men slept. It doesn't say the man slept. It says the men slept. That lets me know it's probably dark. And when it's dark, it says the enemy comes and he sows some very bad seed. My point of that is this, that the enemy does his best seed sowing when it's dark. He does his best seed sowing when it's dark, and we do our best slumber and sleepiness when it's dark. All right, so it's important for the spiritual man to be awake because the enemy will come and sow seeds in your life if you're in a state of darkness. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about three great lights that the Lord has given us. Three great lights that the Lord has given us. And I hope that the Lord will be my helper. I think there's some things in here that will be beneficial to us. Just like the sunlight is a benefit to my physical body, and it wakes me up and it keeps me out of a state of slumber so I can get up and get about my business. The Lord has given us some great lights for the spiritual man that we can wake up. And our spiritual man can be alert and can be aware of the enemy, and we can get about our Father's business. But I tell you this morning, I believe that many of God's children, have never really been spiritually awake. I mean, I think they're awake as far as the new birth goes. But I don't think many of God's children are alert and focused and ready to get about their Father's business. Why is that? I think it's because they failed to let these great lights in their life. I think they've looked at these great lights and they've pulled the curtains on them, and the great lights are not shining into their life, and they stay in a spirit of spiritual slumber. Now, if we are in a state of spiritual slumber, I can guarantee you that you are fertile ground for the enemy's seeds. That's when he does his best work. Now, what are these three great lights? The first great light I want to talk to you about this morning is the Spirit of God. The very Spirit of God. Now listen, you will only be born again by the Spirit of God one time. But you can be filled with the Spirit of God many times. All right, you can be filled with the Spirit of God many times, and guess what? You can quench the Spirit of God many times. Now, that doesn't mean that you completely take him out of your life and you're not a born-again child of God, but he borns you again by the Spirit of God one time, but throughout our life, he fills us with his Spirit, and we do things that quench the Spirit of God. That Spirit of God is a great light. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Psalms 84 that the Lord God is a sun. It does not say capital S-U-N. It does not say S-O-N. It's lowercase S-U-N. He compares himself to the sun. And you think about them when Peter, James, and John are on the mount where the Lord is transfigured before him. It says his face did shine like what? The sun. All right, you think in Revelations, the book of Revelation. In the 21st chapter, it's talking about the New Jerusalem. You know what the Bible tells us about the New Jerusalem? There's no need of the sun. The S-U-N, you know why? It says, because the glory of God and the Lamb are the light thereof. Have I given you enough proof that the Lord is like the sun? The S-U-N? How? And the Spirit of God has a way of waking us up. And if that's not enough evidence for you, Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. Amen. What's the light of this world from a physical standpoint? The sun. What's the light of this world from a spiritual standpoint? Jesus told you. He says, I am the light of the world in a spiritual sense. Now, when we walk with the Lord and we walk with the Spirit of God, he is a great light to us. And he keeps our spiritual man awake and alert and focused. But when we look at the Spirit of God and we say, I'm going to do whatever I'm doing, the Bible says you can quench the Spirit of God. It tells us that in the book of Hebrews. And that's no different than me getting up, walking in my bedroom, slamming the curtain shut because I don't want the great light in. Guess what that's going to do to my physical body? It's going to make me want to go get back in the bed and be groggy all day. Right. When you quench the Spirit of God, you're shutting the curtains on one of the great lights for your spiritual man. Amen. There are many ways that you can quench the Spirit of God. But I want to give you one example here of Peter. Peter is an apostle of Christ. Peter has told Jesus things like, you are so great, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You know what? That was somewhat of a, he said the wrong thing. But you know what? You know why he said that? Because he loved the Lord. Yeah. He didn't understand it in his head fully. But he was so passionate that he loved the Lord so much. And many, many times, Peter let his love and passion for the Lord get a little misguided. But you can't fault him for not being in love with the Lord. Right, and they come to get Jesus one day, just like they would come to get Frankenstein. You ever seen the movies where they come to get Frankenstein? The Bible says they came with clubs and staves to get him. All right, you know they march up to the house where Frankenstein's in, all the men with pitchforks and swords and clubs. That's how they came to get Jesus. Yep. And there's Peter, and Peter says, no way, you're not taking my Lord. Because I love him. And he pulls out that sword and he would have cut off the man's head if he could have hit it, but he cut his ear off. That's how passionate he was about the Lord. But guess, so Peter is right there. Peter is so filled with the Spirit. Peter is walking right there. He's not quenching the Spirit. And he's got the great light shining into his life, motivating him to stand with the Lord like that. But guess what happens? Fear comes sneaking along. And Peter's gone. And Peter leaves the Lord. Peter's with the Lord, ready to fight and die with the Lord, but Peter leaves the Lord's side. That's a picture of quenching the Spirit. What do you find when Peter's way over here? You find him watching from a distance, hiding, denying the Christ. The same man that said, you're not going to wash my feet, I love you so much. The same man that said, I'm ready to die by the sword protecting you, Lord, is now standing from a distance denying that he even knows him. Why is that? Because he quenched the Spirit when he left the Lord's side.
That's right.
Now, what do you find a little bit later on with Peter? You find the resurrected Lord coming to Peter. And what does Peter say? He has begotten us again into a lively hope.
Amen.
Peter's now back by the Lord's side, being full of the Spirit. And we have no record in the Bible of Peter ever falling away from the Lord like he did in those moments when he denied him. I think Peter learned a valuable lesson, is that when I'm not with the Lord, I pulled the curtain on one of the great lights in my life, and I find myself doing things I never imagined I would do. I never thought I would deny the Lord. But when you leave the Lord's side, folks, you will find yourself doing things you never imagined because you pulled the curtain on your great light. Now, how do we quench the Spirit of God? Lots of ways. You can quench the Spirit of God, that great light, with the sin in your life. You can quench it by the people you hang around. You can quench it by the things that you watch on TV. You can quench it by the things you listen to. You can quench it by the things that come out of your mouth. You can quench it in a lot of ways. And I can tell you some examples of that. I've been going down the road before, listening to hymns that we sing, and have thoughts in my mind and scriptures rolling through my mind. I'd be by myself and I would just be ready to shout. And all of a sudden, your phone dings and you pick it up and it's a text. Maybe it's one of your buddies saying, this is the example I had recently. I mean, I'm on cloud nine. I'm ready to go to heaven. Somebody sends me a text. Look at this deer I killed. I was like, man, that is a big deer. And I call him. Hey, man, tell me about your deer. We start talking back and forth. The next thing you know, we've talked for 20, 30 minutes about it. And I hang up the phone and I drive down the road a little bit more and I had another spiritual thought. Now, listen to me. That's not wrong. It's not wrong for me to call and check my buddy's hunting story. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I'll be going down the road and I'll be listening to that CD with those hymns on it and I'll just be wanting to praise the Lord and shout, and all of a sudden I come to the end of the CD and I just, okay, well, I don't have another CD. I just start listening to the radio. And after a few minutes of that, guess what? I'm not thinking spiritual things. This is what I want you to get. Now hear me now. The things of this world are lullabies to the spiritual man. They will sing him right to sleep. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you that all those things are bad. What I'm telling you is this, is you better be careful. If the only exposure to spiritual things that you get are the hour and a half you have at church on Sunday, folks, you're probably sound asleep. Amen. That's just the truth. I don't mean it to hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you from my own experiences. I need it daily. Amen. And if you can sit there and listen to Luke Bryan all day, every day, and you never pick up this Bible to read it, you're probably sound asleep because you pulled the curtain on the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now, sometimes when I get in that situation, I'm saying, well, Lord, I listened to the whole CD. Can't I listen to something else for a while? The Lord says, why don't you listen to it one more time? It's not going to kill you.
Amen.
Listen to it again, because I've noticed with myself that there are things in this world that aren't necessarily bad things, but if I don't keep them in check,
right,
they'll sing my spiritual man right to sleep.
Amen.
And I won't be thinking a thing about the Lord. And that's a dangerous place to be, because that's where the enemy sows his seeds.
Amen.
Okay? Now, one of the great lights he's given us is the Spirit of God himself. Don't leave the Lord's side, folks. Don't leave the Lord's side, and don't have things in your life that quench the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you're pulling the curtain on him. Now, the second thing we have is the Word of God. The Bible tells us this, thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a what? Light. I'm talking to you this morning about the great light of the sun. I've showed you in a spiritual sense how the Lord himself is a light, and I'm showing you how he says his word is a light. His word is a light. Now, you think about 2 Kings. Brother Neil touched on this, and I think Brother Tim may have too, in the last couple months. Do you know there's a time that Israel is in a state of slumber? They're just in a state of spiritual sleepiness, and they can't get alert, and they can't get focused. And there's a man named Josiah who is the king, and he has a man go down into the treasuries of the kingdom, and he goes down there, he's digging around for some money, and he finds the book of the law. And he takes that book of the law, and he begins to flip through it, and he takes it to the king, and he reads it to the king, and the king realizes, this nation has been in a spirit of slumber. We have been spiritually asleep. And he reads it, and it does something to his spiritual man. It's aroused and awake and says, get up, get up, get up.
Right.
Something's going on. You need to read this.
Amen.
And he gets up, and it's one of the greatest revivals that you'll ever read about in the Bible. But guess what the devil wants to do? In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, it says he wants to blind you to the light of the glorious gospel. That's what Satan wants to do. Why? He wants to blind you from the light of the glorious gospel, because when you've got this gospel and you're reading the word of God, it keeps you awake. It keeps your spiritual man awake, so you're alert and focused and you're able to fight the fiery darts of the devil. But the devil wants to distract you from that. That's how he blinds you to it. He doesn't go put blinders on your eyes. He doesn't go poke your eyes out like they did Samson's eyes. He distracts you. Right. You know, when we drive down the road, what do they teach you when you're learning to drive? They teach you about blind spots, do they not? They teach you that you can be driving down the road and you can think you can see something right here, and you say, there's no car right there, but it's in a spot that for some reason your eye cannot pick it up. And if you start to merge over in that lane, you're going to hit them. There are things that are within our line of sight, but we can't always see them. And what does the devil want to do? How does he blind you to that? Well, if here's your blind spot and you know that's your blind spot, what he wants to do is say, hey, look over here real quick. Turn and look over here and position whatever is of the kingdom in that blind spot. He can, listen, that sounds like such a simple thing, but that's how he slays most of us. That's how he slays most of us. By just distracting us, getting us to look at something else to where the what's in our blind spot is everything that really matters. Amen. That's how he gets us. Oh, look at this ball game over here. Oh, I've got so much going on with this over here. Oh, I've got to take care of my job. I've got to take care of this, blah, 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 blah. Look over here, child of God, and I can position the kingdom right in that blind spot, and you'll be oblivious to it. Amen. And the next thing you know, that spiritual man starts to droop, his eyes get sleepy, and he's sound asleep.
Amen.
Now, I've been there. That's why I can tell you that. You know, there's been times that I haven't spent as much time in the Word of God as I wanted to. You know what? The Bible says much study is a weariness of the flesh. Did you know that? Did you know that sitting down and studying the Bible says that's hard to do? It is. And sometimes I sit down and I think, Lord, I know I want to give you my best and I want to give you my time, but there is not one single thing in me that feels like opening this Bible. I can't get focused on anything. I can't concentrate. Maybe I'm physically tired. And I think, Lord, I can pick this word up, Lord, and I can go through it as just because I'm obligated to do it, and I'll do it just to show you I love you, but I sure don't feel like it because my spiritual man is just about asleep. And guess what? I can pick it up and read three verses, and the Lord has a way of using this to wake that spiritual man up. I've done it time and time and time again where I sit down to read that Bible and I don't feel like reading the Bible.
Right.
And all of a sudden, three verses in, I've got notepads flying and I'm looking verses and I'm just like a crazy mad scientist. And I'm awake spiritually.
Amen.
I went from a spirit of slumber to a spirit of alertness and focused and awake because the great light of God's Word was shining in my life.
Right.
Well, guess what I could have done? I could have gone on there and pulled the curtains on it and says, I don't feel like doing it, Lord.
Yeah.
And I'd have stayed asleep.
Amen.
Well, guess what? I get up, I get in my truck, I go down the road. I don't feel like listening to a sermon, Lord, when I go down the road. I don't feel like listening to any hymns. And I cut the secular radio on, and I'm already in a spirit of slumber, and that secular radio just starts to sing that spiritual man into a deeper and deeper and deeper sleep. And you say, why are you being so harsh, Luke? Because that's the condition most of God's people seem to be in,
right,
is in a state of slumber. What's the third, the third great light? The third great light is the church of God.
Amen.
It is you. You hear me?
Yes.
You believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that you are a great light to me?
Yes.
You are. I'm telling you that you are. You're a great light to me, and I hope that I'm a great light to you.
Amen.
The fellowship of the saints. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Guess what he also said is the light of the world? You. Ye are the light of the world. That's what he said. You are a great light. Did you know that? Did you know that a child of God could come in here and he could have turned his back on this Bible and started falling asleep? He could have turned his back on the Spirit of God and be falling asleep and walk in here and you be the only great light that he has in his life, and you can help that child of God that's in a spirit of slumber wake up. You can do that. You know, there's been times in my life when I have not felt very spiritual. I hadn't felt like reading the Bible. I hadn't felt like listening to sermons. I hadn't felt like doing anything that seemed to be very spiritual at all. I hadn't felt like going out and sinning all over the world either, even though I'm sinning by neglecting those things. I just kind of felt like, yeah, you know, life is good. We'll just chug along. And I've closed the curtains on the Spirit of God, and I've closed the curtains on the Word of God. And then some old good brother or sister come over to our house, and guess what they want to talk about? The Lord. They want to talk about the Lord, and they want to talk about the Bible. And when they leave, the first thing I want to go do is pick up that Bible.
Amen.
Because God's people have a way of shining into the lives of other people,
that's right,
around them, and it wakes them up.
Right.
You ever heard the example Let me say this before I say that. That's why forsaking the assembly is such a dangerous, dangerous sin. Amen. Do you know that's a sin? Do you know forsaking the assembly is a sin?
Right.
It is. If you don't like it, you can talk to the Lord about it. That's why it's so important not to forsake it.
Amen.
Because you're shutting the curtains on a great light the Lord has given us.
Right.
You ever heard the example of the two guys, I know everybody's heard it. Two guys standing by the fireplace. One of the guys says, "I don't really see why it's all that important to go to church." And as they're looking at that fireplace, the other guy goes in there and he pulls a coal out of the fireplace and he sets it on the hearth. And he stands there just a few minutes, and it's not long before that coal quits glowing and quits putting off a whole lot of heat. And it's not long, you go over there and just pick it up and hold it in your hand. It's cold as could be, cool as could be.
Mm-hmm.
And the point the man is making, it says, when you stay with the masses of coals, you stay warm.
Amen.
That goes in the other way too. We had a snow a couple weeks ago. And then a few days after that, the snow started to melt. What's the last things you saw melt? It's all the snowmen that people made, is it not? Why? Because they packed together a bunch of cold things and it helped it stay cold. All right, if you surround yourself with a bunch of cold people, you'll be cold and you'll be cold longer.
That's right.
If you take yourself out of the fire that is the fellowship of the saints of God and set yourself on the hearth, you'll be cooled off before you realize it while they're raging on. Now you can take that coal and put it back in that fire, and the next thing you know, it's hot again.
Amen.
Why? Because this is a great light.
Amen.
That wakes up people. That's a neat little story, but you know what? That's biblical.
Right.
That's biblical. Ecclesiastes 4, how can two have heat unless they lay together? That's all that's saying.
Right.
If me and my family are out, we're doing something, and we get trapped out of the woods, and a very, very cold night comes in, and we don't have the appropriate clothes, and we're lost, and we can't do anything, and we lay 10 feet apart to go to sleep, we'll be dead the next morning. But the Bible says if you lay together, you have heat.
Amen.
That picture of that coal is nothing but a biblical example. How can two have heat unless they lay together?
Yeah.
Now, as I close here, let me say just a few things. The sun is a great light He created. And if I will keep the curtains open in my bedroom when that great light comes in, I'm awake, I'm alert, I'm focused, and I'm ready to get about my business. But if I close those curtains, I keep myself in a spirit of slumber. And it's the same way with your spiritual man. If you quench the Spirit of God through your actions and the things that you do and the decisions you make, you've pulled the curtains on it. And the spiritual man will stay in a spirit of slumber. If you neglect the Word of God, you'll stay in a spirit of slumber. If you neglect the fellowship of the saints in this church, you are pulling the curtains on a great light and you'll stay in a spirit of slumber. And that's when the enemy sows his best seeds.
Amen.
I encourage you, sling the curtains open on those great lights.
Amen.
If there are some things in your life that I've talked about, if there are some things this morning that you have neglected, repent of those things.
Amen.
Get back in the fire. Get back in the Word of God. Turn away from the things that you're doing that are quenching the Spirit of God. To keep that spiritual man awake. Now, those things that I'm telling you about this morning, you know they're foolishness to the world?
Right.
I'm sorry, I can't go do this tonight because I've got to go study my Bible and pray, and we've got a church meeting or whatever you're inviting me to go do, I don't feel like is the thing that I need to be doing. People are going to think you are crazy. But you remember the old Israelites when they're coming out of Egypt? And the Lord has a cloud in front of them guiding them. And that cloud, it says, was a light to them. It gave them light. But at nighttime, that cloud would move around behind them and separate them from the Egyptians that were chasing them. And to the Israelites, it was a light.
Yep.
To the world, it was confusion and darkness.
Right.
And you can tell people, I need these great lights in my life. I'm sorry, I can't go with you. I've got to go to church. They're going to think you're crazy because to them it's confusing. But to you, it's a great light. And I like what Paul wrote to the Romans. He says, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of what? Light. Light. I hope that that's been profitable to you this morning. And I beg you, pray for me. Because I have trouble sometimes with those great lights in my life. I have a tendency to want to pull the curtains, and I bet you do too. Let's pray for each other that we will keep those great lights in our life, that we'll be alert and focused and ready to get about our Father's business. Thank you for your time.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.